Queridos amigos, les habla la esposa del senador John F. Kennedy, candidato a la presidencia de los Estados Unidos.
Recognize that voice? That is a very young Jackie Kennedy speaking in 1960, urging Latino voters to come out to the polls and vote for her husband. It's one of the earliest Spanish language political ads of the United States. Contrast that with the much slicker ad put out this election cycle from Mitt Romney's campaign targeting voters in Puerto Rico.
Soy Craig Romney. Los Estados Unidos representan libertad, oportunidad, donde todo es posible. Mi padre, Mitt Romney, cree en esos valores porque los ha vivido. Él tiene un plan para crear trabajos y, junto a los líderes de Puerto Rico, luchará para encaminar la economía de la Isla del Encanto.
My dad will fight to improve the economy of the Island of Enchantment, Mitt Romney's son there. Today's candidates are, of course, a little more polished in their ads than politicians were 50 years ago. But as attempts to court Latino voters have increased, so have the blunders. Joining us now, Jude Joffe Block, senior field correspondent for Fronteras. Fronteras is a multimedia collaboration that focuses on the southwestern border between Mexico and the U.S. It's led by KJZZ in Phoenix and KPBS in San Diego. Also with us, Ruben Navarrete, a nationally syndicated columnist with the Washington Post Writers Group. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Jude, to a certain extent, it's understandable that the more you put out ads that court Latino voters, the more gaffes you're going to make, right? That's expected?
Of course, yeah.
But some of them, there's a difference here between a gaffe which is misspoke, someone misspoke or they made a goof, and one that kind of reflects a real misunderstanding, a lack of connection with a community. And I wonder, you point to a gaffe that Gerald Ford, that has now become famous, made in 1976. What happened with Gerald Ford?
Yeah, absolutely. This has become one of the classic examples. Gerald Ford, it was 1976. He was already president, but he was being challenged in the Republican primary. And he was in front of a crowd in Texas, and somebody passed around a plate of tamales. And apparently he didn't have a lot of experience with Mexican food because he didn't realize that there's a corn husk wrapping that you have to take off. So he actually picked up a tamale and bit right into the corn husk. And so this has become...
Good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't look good. You know, it became one of these examples of somebody who was maybe trying hard, but really exposed himself for being pretty out of touch.
Right. All right. So you bring that forward then to a gaffe that Newt Gingrich made. And I want you to make the distinguish for us. He called at one point Spanish language, basically said it was the language of the ghetto. And then here he is apologizing in Spanish.
Las palabras que elegí para expresarme no fueron las mejores.
All right, there he is saying, maybe I didn't use the best words to express myself. So how do you distinguish these two, Jude? Was the Gerald Ford thing a real lack of connection and then Gingrich was just a misspeak?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the right way to... Well, I think Gerald Ford's was a lack of connection. I think Newt Gingrich, you know, was not trying to court Latino voters when he first made those remarks about Spanish. And he later went on to say, I was trying to say English is the language of prosperity, but it didn't sound so good. So he ended up having to direct an apology specifically to one group of voters, which are the Spanish-speaking Latino voters.
That's Jude Joffe Block, senior field correspondent for Fronteras. And let me go to you, Ruben Navarrete, with the Washington Post Writers Group. How do Latino voters, if we can speak of them as one block, which they certainly are not, but how do people who are being courted like this take these apologies?
I think if they think they're sincere and come from a sincere place, they take them fine. One of the things that Latinos have always given credit to is folks who give an attempt at speaking Spanish, even if the Spanish isn't so good. They liked it when Michael Dukakis, a Democrat, did in 1988, and they liked it when George Bush gave it a go in 2004. And even there in that clip you showed of Gingrich, it shows an attempt to make, you know, I care enough about this community to learn to speak a language that many of you speak or many of you understand. You know, two other examples I'd add to that list about people who had a tin ear and go after Latinos. One was Barack Obama, who referred to Cinco de Mayo as Cinco de Cuatro in a classic.
No, really?
Yeah, in a classic misspeaking. That fed a perception that people have had about Barack Obama that he has no real antenna when it comes to Latinos. He, as one Latino activist put it, we have a music going on in the Latino community, and Obama doesn't hear the beat. He doesn't hear the beat. The other example famously was when Hillary Clinton campaigning against Barack Obama in 2008 went to a Las Vegas Mexican restaurant and was trying to connect to the Latino crowd and talk about how Latinos are an integral part of the United States. And she chose the unfortunate reference of saying, you all are like a, it's like chips and guacamole. That's how we go together.
Yeah, that was a goof. But here's one that I think, to me, and I am not Latino, admittedly, but to me, this kind of sounds like someone just making a goof. This is an ad from Shelley Berkley, who was running for Senate in Nevada.
Que está en contra de la reforma migratoria y que hasta deportaría abuelos y separaría hijos de sus madres.
All right, at the very end, there's a phrase there, hijos y sus madres, which in some parts of the Spanish-speaking communities is the equivalent of calling them an SOB, right? But that's just a mistake, right?
Right, yeah. That's you have to understand sort of the context of the language, right, and how the
forgivable,
how that phrase,
though.
The colloquialism plays out. Exactly right. You got to be careful with stuff like that. Somebody on staff, it goes to the fact again, that's something that Jude and I talked about earlier, you have people who want to go after the Latino community, but all their advisors around them are not Latino. The infrastructure of the campaign is not Latino. The political campaigns have a scarcity of Latinos. So you have non-Latinos who are trying to go after Latinos, and that's why the learning curve is so steep.
All right. Well, let's Jude, compare that with some of the more recent gaffes. For example, Mitt speaking to Cuban Americans and using a Castro slogan, that didn't go over very well. But of course, then there was Rick Santorum, who famously made a gaffe in Puerto Rico when he said that if they're going to be a state ever, they need to accept English as their primary language. And here's his kind of apology here.
Obviously, Spanish is going to be spoken here in the island, but this needs to be a bilingual country, not just a Spanish-speaking country.
Okay, so Jude, by your
country, he can't make it.
That's a double gaffe there. But Jude, is that him misspeaking, or is that a real disconnection?
Well, I mean, I think what was fascinating about that moment was that was actually him at a moment trying to clarify his earlier comments about English, and then misspeaking and calling Puerto Rico a country when, of course, it's an unincorporated territory of the U.S. So, yeah, it was a double gaffe, I think. And I think that it becomes a sticky area. You know, I think a lot of times these politicians want to speak about English as a language of opportunity and promote the idea of speaking English. But in doing so, sometimes they, you know, kind of twist themselves in a pretzel and it comes out sounding pretty negative towards Spanish, which is probably not a very good strategy.
All right. So give us some tips here, Ruben. Let me get yours first. If a politician pretty much has to court Latino voters in order to make it through an election cycle in most places, how do they do that if they are not themselves Latino?
Yeah, it's the same lesson we had in telling them how to speak to the Irish in the last century or speak to the Italians in the last century, and that is treat this community with respect, this group of voters with respect. See them as equals. Don't pander to them. Don't condescend to them. Don't come to them with a list of your issues and try to force those issues into their paradigm. Actually, just shut up and listen and ask them, you know, as Bobby Kennedy asked famously in 1968 in campaigning in East Los Angeles, what do you want and how can I help? And you don't hear that very often from our politicians, but if they ask those two questions, they're halfway there. Instead of putting their issues onto the community, listen to what the community wants you to deal with, and then go out there and fix it.
And, of course, we had the famous incident recently of the mayor of a Connecticut town who was asked how he would help the Latino community in his city, and he responded he was going to go home and have a taco. So, Jude, how does a politician avoid what's being called a taco moment?
Well, I think one thing that campaigns and candidates need to realize is how this demographic is growing. And at this point, a lot of the growth comes from people who are born in the U.S., and a lot of this population is English dominant. So I think that, you know, we might need to see a shift soon in terms of, does it really make sense to advertise only in Spanish when you're trying to reach Latino voters? At this point, no, they're not necessarily tuning in to Spanish language media.
Or serve salsa at their campaign events, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's a much more diverse, and it's in a group of American voters that don't necessarily need to be courted as if they're foreign.
Or as if they're one great big monolithic block. Jude Joffe Block, senior field correspondent for Fronteras. Ruben Navarrete, nationally syndicated columnist with the Washington Post Writers Group. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.